From the lobby of the NYU Langone Medical Center, this is Doctor Radio.
Welcome back to Beyond the Heart. I'm your host, Dr. Nisa Goldberg. And in this segment, we're going to be talking about breast reconstruction with Dr. Laura Sudarsky. Dr. Sudarsky is a board-certified plastic surgeon with S Plastic Surgery in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And also joining us is Iris, who's a breast cancer survivor diagnosed almost 1 year ago. Welcome to the show, Laura.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's great to be back at NYU, even though it's remotely.
Well, it's always great to have. Are you an alum?
I am. Medical school and residency.
Wow, that's great. It's great to have you here. So we're in the lobby of the hospital.
Ah.
You must remember that well.
Oh, yes, I do. I spent a lot of nights crawling through there.
I bet. And Iris, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I was wondering, Iris, if you'd like to share your story with our listeners.
Sure. So as you mentioned, it was a little less than a year ago that I was diagnosed. It was a lump that my gynecologist found in my annual, and she sent me for a mammogram. And, while it was devastating at the time, I can reflect back on the year and feel as if I came out of it a different and better person. I started chemo first,
right?
In May, and I did six cycles of chemo, and then about 6 weeks after I was done with chemo, I had my double mastectomy, and that's when Dr. Sudarsky put the air expanders in. And in December, I had my swap surgery. I got my implants. And I just had my second-to-last Herceptin infusion this morning.
Congratulations.
Thank you. My last infusion is in 3 weeks.
Wow.
And then Dr. Sudarsky is taking my port out the next day.
That's wonderful.
Yes. I feel very blessed and lucky.
So, Laura, I thought you'd go to walk us through a little bit about what goes on in a typical breast reconstruction, and about the expander that Iris alluded to, and how you make a choice for what procedure the person is going to get.
Well, breast reconstruction really comes in two forms. One is autologous, which we use the patient's own body tissue from their belly or their behind or their back. And the other one is implant-based reconstruction. And what we're going to talk about today is the implant-based reconstruction.
Right.
Because the aeriform is a tissue expander. So when we do an implant-based reconstruction, it can be done in either one step, which is you go direct to implant, or in two steps, where first you put in a tissue expander, and then you follow it with what Iris calls the swap surgery, which the tissue expander is removed and the permanent implant gets placed in its spot. And the reason we often do a tissue expander is to increase the pocket and to preserve the pocket so that there will be room later for an implant.
I see.
And traditionally, the implants have been saline-filled, which means that the patient would come to my office once a week for a certain period of time, and she would be injected through a port with a needle of about 50 to 100 cc's until the implant was adequately sized so that we could replace it with a permanent implant.
Right.
The aeriform is a brand new concept where the patient no longer has to be injected with saline.
Wow.
Instead, she can control it herself with a remote, and she inflates herself with air. And
Whoa.
It's like a remote, as if you had a TV remote, and the patient... She places it up to her breast, and she pushes a button, and 10 cc's of air comes out, and you can do it up to 3 times a day. So there's no instrumenting the tissue expander. There's no injections, and the patient does it at home.
And I would imagine that reduces potential infection rates.
I think so. In my experience, I believe that it does cause less infection because you're not putting a potentially... contaminated or a needle through the skin into the expander. And not only that, but it's also much faster because the patient has control. She does it at home. She doesn't need to come once a week.
And that's
Instead,
right.
Instead, she fills herself three times a day.
And then do you have studies that show that it's as good or better than the other way?
Yes. The FDA clinical trial, which went on for about 2 years, shows that the results are equivalent to the saline expanders.
Wow. Do you think this is going to really change the way people do this? They'll use the aerofoam expander as opposed to saline?
I think it should. It's very exciting because nothing has really changed in implant-based reconstruction in many years, and this offers us a new change into the forefront of breast reconstruction that a woman can go to work while she's in the process of being expanded, and she doesn't have to be visiting the doctor's office once a week. And I think that once the other physicians and plastic surgeons get used to it, I think everybody's going to love it.
Yeah, I want to reach out to our listeners who are just joining us. We're on the phone with Dr. Laura Sirdarsky. She's a board-certified plastic surgeon, and she's with S Plastic Surgery in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, as well as an NYU Medical School alum. And Iris, a breast cancer survivor diagnosed almost 1 year ago. And we're opening up the phone so that you can join our conversation on breast reconstruction. And you can give us a call at 877-NYU-DOCS. That's 877-698-3627. Iris, I want to bring you back in the conversation. How did you and Dr. Sirdarsky decide aerofoam was the right choice for you?
Sure. I did my own research just because I was searching for a plastic surgeon that did a lot of work in reconstruction. We live in South Florida, and there's a ton of plastic surgeons here that, you know, work on breast augmentations, but I knew what I was going to be going through was different. And that's how, when I found Dr. Sirdarsky, I found articles about the aeriform, and I found it very interesting to hear about this, you know, new system, because in all of the support groups that I was participating in, the expansion process is the process that many women really don't look forward to. It could be painful and uncomfortable, and an alternative was appealing to me. So when I set up my initial appointment with Dr. Sirdarsky, and she first mentioned it to me, I had already read up on it, and she was happy to hear that I was familiar with what she was talking about and was very interested in participating in the study.
Well, what did you like about the choice of the aeroform?
well, I didn't know this so much at the time, but going through it, I could definitely see that getting 100 cc's at one time would probably be extremely painful. I was told that on the day of expansion, it is you're sore. So there was that. You know, we always like to avoid any unneeded pain. And then doing it at home, because I did work throughout my entire treatment, and not having to go to the doctor's office once a week was also appealing to me. And I've just come from that kind of mentality where,
right,
a good product, and I don't want to say product as if it's a good new option in clinical trial phase.
Sure.
I definitely want to be a part of something like that. So, and on top of it, being expanded quicker was definitely appealing to me. So,
right, and you didn't have to go back and forth to the doctor's office.
Exactly. I was a D cup before,
right,
naturally, and I got to a place where I was comfortable with my appearance and wearing my same clothes.
Sure.
Even showing, not cleavage, but showing cleavage, probably within 2 weeks of starting the expansion.
Wow, that's impressive. And you were able to go to work in the gym?
Well, I wasn't working out at the time because, you know, after the surgery, you have to take it easy. But I was socializing and working. So, you know, going out with my friends and visiting and, you know, wearing all the same clothes, whereas I know a lot of women hide themselves during the time of expansion because, you know, you, if you do go from, you know, a D cup as I was down to, you know, I was, I think, a B or maybe smaller after the surgery, there's a little air in the the expander when they first place it. But it's a strange sensation to have, you know, a breast mound and then not.
Right. And was it easy for you to do the expansion yourself, learn how to do it?
Oh, yeah. It's really simple. I mean, they showed me one time, and I was able to handle it, you know, on my own, no problem, never had an issue. I was, you know, there was soreness involved, of course, even when I was just putting in 30 cc's a day, but and I could take, if I was that sore, I could decide not to do any more expansion for the day and just move on to the next day. So it's not, I didn't necessarily put 30 cc's in every single day, but it's at your own pace, at your own comfort level, and extremely simple.
That's good. We're going to welcome Marilyn from New York. She has a question for Dr. Sudarsky. Marilyn?
Hi, Dr. Sudarsky. This sounds very exciting and interesting, and you sound very qualified for this. My question to you is the time frame for the air expanders less or more than the saline expanders? I'm not talking about the individual's time, but overall time for the expander.
Thank you for that question, Marilyn. Because the patient is able to dose herself three times a day, that shortens the expansion period significantly.
Okay.
As Ira stated, after her tissue, after her aeriform expander was placed, she was able to have her swap surgery within 2 to 3 months after her initial surgery.
And with the saline, it would have been longer.
Yeah,
what you're saying. Okay, and if I wanted to fly down to Fort Lauderdale to S, is that a possibility? There's no problems. Where, you know, do you have a phone number where I could call?
Well, actually, you know, when you go offline, I think Lori can give that to you, and we'll also have Dr. Sudarsky's contact information or link to her website on our Dr. Radio Facebook page. Thanks for calling in, Marilyn.
Thank you, Marilyn.
Laura, do you know how can a patient know if breast reconstruction is the right choice?
Oh, Nisa, breast reconstruction is the right choice for everybody, for anybody who is undergoing mastectomy for cancer. Every woman deserves the option for breast reconstruction.
Right.
And unfortunately, throughout the country, our statistics show that only 50 or 55% of women are having breast reconstruction performed, and that unfortunately has been a terrible oversight on the part of the medical community. And the nice thing about this procedure and using the aeriform is it really doesn't take the patient out of the working community for a long period of time. A lot of women are afraid to have reconstructions done because they're afraid they're going to be out of work for a long time.
Right.
They're afraid that they won't be able to take care of their children. And this puts the control back into the hands of the patient. And she can decide what days she wants to dose, what days she doesn't, what days she wants to lay low. And when a woman's diagnosed with breast cancer, she loses so much control. So I think this, in a sense, is almost a little bit of a gift to a woman because it puts the control back into her hands.
Right. Do you think that possibly that the rates of for reconstruction are so low because of cost?
No.
No. Is
because
it covered?
The law states, there's a federal law which guarantees coverage for all women for reconstruction.
Wow. That's important information. And I think by having shows like this, we raise awareness.
I hope
and
so.
And having someone like Iris talk about it raises awareness. We have another caller, Paula from New Jersey. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for taking my call. My question is, what can a woman be radiated with an air expander in place? And in follow-up to that, what is the incidence of contracture after, before the swab surgery? I know that sometimes that can happen as well.
And again, thank you for your question, Paula. A woman can have radiation before or after the insertion of an air expander. Every center has their own protocols as to how much she should be expanded or not expanded prior to the radiation. Some radiation centers want you to be expanded. Some prefer that you don't get expanded. So you have to follow the protocol of your radiation oncologist. And we have not studied the incidence of encapsulation with aeriform as opposed to saline, but I would have to say, based on the previous studies, it's probably equivalent.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Paula. Iris, I was wondering if you can give our listeners some questions that you think would be important for them to ask their surgeon.
Sure. So some of the questions that I asked Dr. Sadarsky was, what are some complaints that you get from, reconstruction patients after they've finished their reconstruction? I also, you want to talk about size, you want to talk about appearance, you want to ask about the different options for the shape of the implants. I did my research in advance,
yes,
just to educate myself so I could ask the right questions. I knew that there was an option for round implants versus teardrop implants. I knew that there was an option for fat grafting afterwards. And I asked about all of those things so I could understand better what to expect. But at the same time, you could ask your surgeon, what should I be asking you? Because they will be able to educate you
about the common questions other patients have asked.
Exactly.
Sure. We have Cindy from Virginia. Hi, Cindy. How can we help you?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question. I have silicone implants following reconstruction for 5 years, and it's my understanding that at some point in the future, I was 42 when I had them, the reconstruction done, and so my understanding is that at some point I will have those replaced. Are the aeriform replacements an option advisable for somebody who has silicone implants, or is that I will just continue on having the silicone implant?
Laura?
Well, there's sort of two parts to that question. The aeriform is a tissue expander. It's not an implant. So it prepares you for your final implant reconstruction. So you would not be a candidate for that aeriform expander because you're already fully expanded. As far as swapping out your implants down the road, that is not necessarily the recommendation at this time. The best way to follow the integrity of your current silicone implants is to get an MRI of the silicone implants every 2 years. And if they're not leaking and if they're intact, you'd no longer need to have them swapped out.
That's important information, Cindy. Well, thank you for calling in. And I want to thank you, Laura Sadarsky. Hope you come to visit us in the studio.
I would love to someday. Thank you.
That will be great. And Iris, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to join us.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.